On this episode of The Flatus Show, number 67, Gerard Manley Hopkins, Beauty, Baptist, and a surprise visit from Sybil. This and more. The Flatus Show, starring Kenty and Jose. Welcome to the Flatus Show. Tab for my diet. Francine, look at the nature. Tab is delicious. I'm Kenty. Welcome to the Flatus Show. Jose's in the other room taking a nap. Huh? Like, that's a real surprise. I'm having my tab and a cookie. Delicious. Homemade. This is the Flatus Show. Let me finish eating. You don't get this on commercial radio. You can reach me at kenty@theflatusshow.com. Just come to my website, theflatusshow.com. You'll be able to find all the information there to contact me. You can reach me by phone by dialing 206-339-JOSE. That's phone number is 206-339-JOSE. And that is courtesy of K7.net. Dialing that number doesn't cost you anything more than what a normal long-distance phone call would cost you. It's based in Seattle, I believe. So it's Washington State phone number. And if you have some of your telephone plans, might even include it. So give me a call. Give me some comments. I'll play them on the show. Oh, let's see here. This is the third week. One more week. And then it's mine. Is I have a 3-DVD set of Hollywood musicals. One of those musicals is Glorifying the American Girl. Recently on my Flatus Show special, I did the commentary for Glorifying the American Girl. Now you can see Glorifying the American Girl if you haven't already downloaded it at whatever that place was, publicdomaintorrents.com. What you need to do is be the first person to give me 10 minutes of content for my show. You know what my show is like. You know the kind of stories I like. You know, give it the the Flatus once over. And if you play an instrument or sing or whatever, you can add a little ukulele or music or whatever. If there's two or more people, you can do it together and then share the DVDs. Because sharing is fun. So let's say here, let me have some more cookie. What else? Anything going on? Well, for those who listen to What I Believe podcast, there'll be some changes going on with that. More on that later. Billie Holiday's great. I'm looking at a Billie Holiday CD I bought the other day. I love Billie Holiday. I have a little clip. For later, we had Sybil visit the studios. Okay. Here's a diet book I bought from 1918. I'm going to read you the section on constipation. Constipation in many times is... Wait, let me start from the beginning. Constipation is many times caused by a too concentrated diet, or one containing too little roughage. It has also been discovered that some individuals who are troubled with faulty elimination digest the cellulose, and only the more resistant, like bran, is not absorbed. For those, the Japanese seaweed called agar agar is in the laboratory, but more familiarly, why can't I pronounce it? Familiarly, known as agar by the layman, is excellent. The most industrious digestive tract apparently cannot digest that. It has the further property of absorbing a large amount of water, thus increasing its bulk. Mineral oils, refined paraffin, are not absorbable, and they act with benefit in some cases. About the worst thing to do in general is to take physics constantly. These are not physics, however. They act mechanically. Even the CS, common sense, individual can take these. The agar may be taken 2 or 3 heaping teaspoons in a large glass of water before retiring, or in the morning before breakfast, or in lieu of 4 o'clock tea. Drink it down rapidly. For goodness sakes, don't try to chew it. Mineral oil will make a fine mayonnaise dressing. It has little or no food value, so the constipated, overweight individual may indulge freely. For faulty elimination, then, 1. Correct diet. 2. Exercise, especially brisk walking. 3. Regularity of habit. 4. Possibly the addition of bran, agar, or mineral oils. And 5. Sweet disposition. Mean people are always constipated. So that's Watch Your Weight by Lulu Hunt Peters. And so I took her advice and bought some mineral oil and started taking it regularly. And I find out that if I take it in the right amounts, it doesn't really cause any problems, and I'll explain that. But otherwise, it really keeps you moving. And I think that's so important. I'm hiccuping. I'm not talking right. Okay, taking the mineral oil has solved my hemorrhoidal problems. Let me just say that. I guess I never realized how constipated I was. It was causing hemorrhoids, which are nasty. But the mineral oil has stopped that. And it's sort of like, you know, lubricates, it's like, you know, instead of your skin and your ass being dry as a Ritz cracker, it moistens it. It's like using hand cream, but internally. So it just, like, you know, moistens your entire body. Mineral oil is also used in baby oil, so there you go. But I think mineral oil is a really great thing. So, you know, if you have a problem with constipation, or even if you don't, if you think you have a problem with constipation, let's say you have hemorrhoids, you might want to try some mineral oil. And I have discovered that about 3 tablespoons with a meal, like dinner time, is fine. But I mean, you have to work it on your own, because yeah, I did take some, a little bit too much, and I ended up having to go to the bathroom, and it's like you crap out oil. Which isn't a bad thing, but it's just, you know, you're really loose, so, you know. We want to take that into consideration. So try it out. See if it doesn't help you. And now for this. And today we had Sybil in the studio. She came to visit Jose and me. Jose was taking a nap. She said some very strange things. And then you'll hear. Here's the conversation. She's very confused and mixed up. Okay, so we're going to start podcasting now, okay?
I don't want to. I want to dance. And I want you to watch me.
Okay, Sybil, I'll watch you.
All right. This will be my stage, then, and you're going to watch me. Okay. Okay.
Okay, Sybil, why aren't you dancing? Come on. I'm waiting. Why aren't you dancing?
I don't know.
When Richard kisses Sybil, it hurts. I wasn't supposed to tell you that.
Sybil, it's okay to tell me. It's good, you know. I don't know why it hurts you when Richard kisses you. It's very odd, in my opinion. But Richard really loves you, Sybil.
But I wasn't hurt by love because I came later. Besides that, it was quick as grease lightning and I could always get away. You have Easter bonnet.
I have Easter bonnet.
I love Easter bonnet. Play it for me, will you?
I will. Here you go, Sybil.
In your Easter bonnet, with all the frills upon it, you'll be the grandest lady in the Easter parade. I'll be all in clover and And when they look you over, I'll be the proudest fellow in the Easter parade. On the Avenue, Fifth Avenue, the photographers will snap us, and you'll find that you're in the Rocha gravure. Oh, I could write a sonnet about your Easter bonnet and of the girl I'm taking to the Easter parade.
What do you think about that, Sybil? That was for you.
I'm scared of dish towels.
I'm sorry. You asked me something. Am I through? May I go?
Gerard Manley Hopkins. Some of you may remember last year, actually more than a year ago, on my podcast, I did a little experimental cut-up with Gerard Manley Hopkins' poem God's Grandeur. And he's a British Victorian poet who had become a Jesuit priest, and he was born in July 28, 1844, and he died June 8th of 1889. He switched from the Anglican Church to Roman Catholicism in 1866, following the example of John Henry Newman, who was a member of the Oxford Movement. What is the Oxford Movement? Let me find out. Okay. The Oxford Movement was a loose affiliation of high church Anglicans, most of them members of the University of Oxford, who sought to demonstrate that the Church of England was a direct descendant of the Christian Church, established by the Apostles. It was also known as the Tractarian Movement after its series of publications, Tracts for the Times, 1833 to 1841. The Tractarians were also called Pussylites, or Pussyites, usually despairingly, after one of their leaders, Edouard Bouvier Pussy. So, that was interesting. You know what they're trying to do? They're trying to just give themselves, more of a, try to make themselves sound like they're better than anybody else. Anyway, that is what the Oxford Movement was. So Manley Hopkins, he left and he became a Jesuit priest. I guess he figured that Catholics were closer to Jesus, maybe. Who knows? And he had written a lot of poetry, actually, all his life. His father was a poet, wrote poetry. And when he became a priest, he destroyed all of that. And it wasn't until 1875 that he wrote a long poem called The Wreck of Deutschland. And it was a naval disaster where 157 people died, including five Franciscan nuns. And the ship was leaving Germany because of harsh anti-Catholic laws. And so it became this religious poem for him. And he was going to get it published. And the Franciscan press or whatever, the Jesuit press said no, they're not going to do it. It was actually accepted, and then they said no. So he was a very sickly guy, and all his life he was depressed. And they moved him to Ireland, actually, and he didn't do well there. First of all, he was English. He was only 5'2" tall. He also had become an ordained minister, but that's before he finished his theology exams, and he failed his final theology exam. So that meant he wasn't going anywhere. He was stuck at the level he was at, I guess the Catholic Church is like that. So he was depressed. He wrote these, terrible sonnets, which are just these gloomy sonnets, really, not that they're terrible. And he ended up dying. He was depressed, and he had bouts of diarrhea, and he finally died of typhoid fever in 1889. At the end of his life, he sort of overcame his despondency. In his last words, "I am so happy! I am so happy!" So maybe he's trying to, force himself to be happy. I don't know. Maybe he was happy. Who knows? One thing that he developed was sprung rhythm. And I'm reading here. Isn't that terrible? Anyway, sprung rhythm. Okay, traditional rhythm, poetry, the rhythm is based on the Norman, the French. the French idea of and it's repeating groups of two or three syllables, okay? And the syllable falling in the same place on each repetition. So you have da 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 da, you know, at the end. It's like rhymes. It's like, I am a cat, I live in a hat, I'll eat some ham, it will not be spam, okay? So Manly Hopkins, you know, he was a real big scholar. I mean, he was scholarly. He went back to, he studied the Anglo-Saxon writings like Beowulf, and he developed something called sprung rhythm. And it is, I don't even know how to describe it, sprung rhythm. I don't know. I'll read it to you. Okay? At the end of this, I'm going to read the poem. So this is something interesting I was reading in here, a concept. An important element in his work is Hopkins' own concept of inscape, which is derived in part from the medieval theologian Duns Scotus. The exact detail of inscape is uncertain and probably known to Hopkins alone, but it has to do with the individual essence and uniqueness of every physical thing. Aaron Copland, an American composer, wrote a piece called Inscape. It was one of his last orchestral pieces. So, anyway, I'm going to read a poem from Manly P. Hopkins. And that poem is Pied Beauty. Glory be to God for dappled things, for skies of couple color as a brinded cow, for rose moles all in stipple upon trout that swim, fresh fire coal, chestnut falls, finches' wings, landscape plotted and pieced, fold, fallow, and plow, and all trades, their gear and tackle and trim, all things counter, original, spare, strange, whatever is fickle, freckled, who knows how, with swift, slow, sweet, sour, a dazzle dim, he fathers forth whose beauty is past change, praise him. So that poem is Pied Beauty by Gerard Manley Hopkins. You can find out more about Gerard Manley Hopkins at Wikipedia, wikipedia.org, for all your information needs. Do, 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 and truly I'm in love with you. No one has taken your place in my heart. Somebody just wants to see us apart. Don't start to doubt me. Learn more about me. I'll admit I'm in love, but with nobody else. Honest and truly, it's you. Do, 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 do. Scooby-doo-boop, ba-doo, boop, boop, scooby-doo-ba-da. Do, 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 do. But with nobody else, honest and truly, it's you. Beauty. This all comes about by a, I'm yawning, sorry. I yawn a lot on Sundays because I'm so damn tired. I was out today. I was very busy. But anyway, let's go on to beauty. It's very interesting that the first hymn in today's church service was about beauty. But, yeah, there was something I saw, and it's about beauty, and it shows what they do to make make models look good in photographs, okay? And it's very telling. I'll have the link up on my webpage so you can take a look at it. And it shows a woman who's not particularly beautiful, you know, plain. I mean, she's nice looking enough, not nice enough looking gal, right? And so they show her, and then her hair and everything, it's all messed up. And the people are getting her ready. It's time lapse, right? And they're putting makeup on her and then take a picture of her. Well, yeah, that's fine and dandy, right? You have the makeup and everything, and she looks good. And then what they do is they take the photograph and then they change everything else, like the shape of the eyes, the shape of the face. They make her face a little thinner. So the final image really is not the person who the photograph was taken of. So what the question is why – this is one of the reasons why people have such a horrible self-image is that, you know, they're trying to attain something which is impossible, you know? No one is perfect. No one is perfect, Sarita. So that was my little thing about beauty. And there's a whole – there's some articles in Wikipedia on beauty and physical attractiveness which are really interesting. And there's this thing called Eigenface. It's a set of standardized face ingredients. Eigenfaces are a set of standardized face ingredients, and what it's used is for human face recognition. And if you look at the pictures, it's very odd. I mean, it doesn't look like anybody, but apparently everybody has an eigenface, a unique
eigenface.
That's a unique eigenface. I'm so sorry for yawning. I really am. I'm cold. So anyway, I should go get myself a cup of tea. Maybe I'll do that. I'm going to pause here and get myself a cup of tea and then come back and talk more about eigenfaces. And then I'm going to continue and talk about the church today. I'm back. I just had made my tea. And I was making my tea and I was looking at it. I was put the milk into my tea and how it swirls around and I thought how beautiful that is. And this is really about beauty, and maybe it is in the eye of the beholder. And I think scientists have discovered that a lot of beautiful things have a certain ratio. I think there's one called the golden mean. And I believe the way the petals of a flower unfold and other natural things occur, like shells, how the shells spiral, there's a particular pattern. Whether that makes it beautiful or not, I don't know, but I know sometimes when I'm looking through a book of paintings, because I like oil paintings, different ones, and I'm just struck by the beauty. Like, what was I thinking of the other day? I saw it in front of Art News. De Kooning's Woman, one of his women paintings. And I'm just struck by the color and the shape and the drawing and everything. It just knocks me for a loop every time I see it, and I just love it. Sometimes you just know it's beautiful, you know. Sometimes I'm sitting and I see something as simple as two coffee cups, you know. I have two coffee cups sitting next to each other, and I just find it really great design, you know. It's just like, it's beautiful to me. In fact, I brought two home from work. One's a blue one, one's a brownish one, orange really. And I'm thinking about doing a painting of them. So I think they're beautiful. And of course there's music, you know. Some music is just, you know, overwhelmingly beautiful. But, yeah, beauty. What is beauty? But anyway, the marketers manipulate the way humans look. And so you can never really look like a photograph. Photographs are fake. I mean, you can't really look like a painting either. And when somebody paints somebody, it's not – it can look like the person, resemble, but it will never necessarily be that person. You know, in fact, you know, these kinds of art, like a photography or painting, it edits. There's editing going on from the viewer, performer, the artist. Feels better with a hot cup of tea because it's cold. I'm cold. Yeah. So if anybody's listening who has image problems, self-image problems, you know, just look yourself in the mirror and say, I love you. You know, just say, I'm okay as I am. I saw this picture. It was in a website. It was a gay guy. It was just, I don't know if he was gay. He must have been, because he said he is wearing, maybe he wasn't. He's wearing this t-shirt that says, I would do me. And you know what? I would do me. That's what you have to have the attitude. I would do me. Okay? So, here's a group hug for everybody, because I think you're all beautiful. I just can't get over the listeners I have. It just is beyond me. So anyway, where was I talking? Oh yeah, I went to church today. There was this, the church is an American Baptist church, and there's a gay minister, and which is really interesting. And I find out that the congregation, can you hold on for a second? I'm disturbed by dust I see, and I must dust it, or I'm going to get upset. Okay, come on, dust pile. I know that was rude, but that really was bothering me. My room's a mess. As my neighbor says, I have un-gay piles. And I guess I do have piles of stuff around. I'm terrible. But anyway, I love myself. I do myself. So, so the church, Baptist church apparently, traditionally, and that's probably the way it should be, Baptist churches are independent of any kind of external authority, except for the state, you know. I'm talking about religiously and what they do. They don't have, like, bishops and stuff telling them, like, who they can have as a pastor or whatever. So this Baptist church, you know, didn't ordain, but chose a gay minister, which is really interesting. And it's very liberal. I mean, I shouldn't say it's really liberal. But I mean, as a gay minister, and he's actually married his male partners, so they are at the church, so they're liberal that way. But I mean, religious, theologically speaking, they're, you know, they have, you know, traditional Christian values. This isn't like a Unitarian church where there's no Jesus. It's a, you know, Christ-centered church. However, I find out that, you know, this is the traditional way all Baptist churches really had been, right? And what happened with this Southern Baptist Convention, which is the Southern Baptist is the largest group of Baptists, is that they chose to create this organizing authority that tells people who they can have as a pastor. That means the autonomy of each of the individual parish or church has been usurped by this sort of Roman Catholic type hierarchy. And I find it extremely disturbing because these fundamentalists are so upset about Catholicism, and yet they're using the same tactics as the Catholics for themselves. I think that the Southern Baptist Convention is the work of the devil, and I'll say that even though I don't believe in the devil because it sounds provocative, but it is. It is demon worshippers. That's what they are. The Southern Baptist Convention are demon worshippers. They don't believe in autonomy. And you know, the Baptist Church, one reason why they allow each, you know, why each congregation, right, has its own ability to do what it wants, is autonomy, first of all, but conscience. You have to have a conscience. It's the conscience of the people. It's based on the way the Baptist churches should run is the way the country is run. You know, vote, choose, independent, local. You know, the Baptist church is I'm probably murdering this, is local, you know. It's a local thing, you know. And it doesn't, you know, I don't know. I'm mixing my metaphors maybe, but I have to learn more about it, and I will. But the thing is that the Southern Baptist Convention is so un-Baptist, it's ridiculous, you know. And so if anybody is a Southern Baptist, you know, and, you know, you might like it, – it's fine. If you want to have your beliefs or whatever, whatever way you want to view Christ and God, and but you know what? You're really doing yourself a disservice by remaining with the Southern Baptist Convention. And I urge any Southern Baptist church to – leave the Southern Baptist Convention, and just leave it and don't accept its authority. And you, as a congregation, can choose the pastor that you want. The Southern Baptist Convention is dragging us to hell. And that's all I'm going to say about the Southern Baptist Convention. And I think on that note, I'm going to end the podcast. The Southern Baptist Convention is the work of the devil.
You've been listening to The Flake Show. You can reach me at 206-339-JOSE, or you can reach me at Kenty@theflatishow.com.